Christmas for Children's Church. I want to go with Donna. Well, good morning. Isn't it a glorious morning? And isn't it more glorious because He lives? Huh? Our Redeemer does indeed live. Friday, we had a kind of a different service for our normal Good Friday service. We showed the movie The Passion. And for those of you who hadn't seen it before, it kind of grabbed you. And for those of you who weren't here and missed it, and have never seen it, it can really... You really need to see it in order to have a graphic picture in your mind of what it is that Jesus went through during the crucifixion. And that's important to have that in your heart or in your mind and to know just what it is that Jesus suffered when we read this next passage, when we read this passage in Luke today. Because remember, this is what they saw. They saw Jesus arrested. They saw Him beaten. They saw Him scourged. They saw Him have to carry His cross a mile or better out of town and up a hill. They saw Him crucified. They saw Him die. They saw Him stabbed with a spear to ensure that He was indeed dead. And they, with their own hands, carried Him to a tomb and laid Him to rest quickly before the Sabbath was upon them. That's what they had for their experience previous to Luke chapter 24. So let's turn there. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered His words. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we have Your revealed Word. that we can hold in our hands and we can read it, we can contemplate on it, we can meditate it, and we can discuss it and parse it and do so much with it. But Lord, help us to take it and put it in our heart. Help us to receive the truth today and to live appropriately. Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, your people here would be encouraged and blessed, that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified, and that any who don't know you might be brought closer through your word, that they might even receive you this day as their Lord. Father, I pray that as I preach, I wouldn't get in the way, but that you would step forth. I pray that your people would all be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. It's all about expectations. We have certain expectations when we see things in our lives. We've done things. Jesus was not the first dead person they'd ever seen. They, in fact, all of the Roman Empire, everybody was familiar with crucifixion. It was the common practice to make sure that all the citizens, well, actually not citizens of the Roman Empire, it was because only a Roman citizen was actually considered a Roman citizen of the empire, but all the people that were under the Roman Empire were brought to see crucifixions to ensure that they knew what the penalty was for disobeying, for rebellion. Crucifixion is considered by many people who have studied the many different ways that humanity has come up with to cause pain and to inflict death to be one of the, if not the most cruel forms of death that we've come up with. It is extremely painful. And it is indeed deadly. They'd all seen people who'd been crucified, and they knew that they weren't brought down from the cross until they were dead. They'd all experienced putting loved ones in the grave. It was something which family did for family. There weren't people who did that for you. It was your job to take care of your own loved ones from within your own family. So they'd done this. They had carried Jesus and put him in the tomb, but they hadn't had time to properly prepare the body for burial long term. So the women had returned to finish the job the morning after the Sabbath. They showed up with the expectation to complete the job. We say that's a reasonable expectation given the circumstances. The fact that Jesus lived through the scourging alone is almost superhuman. But between the scourging, the beatings, the march, carrying the cross, the crucifixion itself, and the spear, there can be no doubt that anything human was dead. A Except when they got there, there was nobody. And two guys show up and say, "What are you doing here looking for the body?" "Well, duh. We put him here." Right? "But what about all the stuff he's been telling you for the last 3 years? Don't you remember?" In John chapter 2, verse 19, we have the passage where Jesus says that he will destroy, that if they destroy the temple, he will build it up in 3 days. In other parts of the New Testament, I'm going to pull out this nice little book I got called The Harmony of the Gospel. It does, it's a cheat for pastors. What it does is it takes the Gospels and then it chops it up into little pieces and puts it all in chronological order and puts the like pieces next to each other on the same page. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all on the same page, all dealing with the same topic. And you see how each of them dealt with the same incident. Now, not all of the things occurred in all are that are not that all that occurred that are written down in all four of the Gospels are written in all four of the Gospels. So some pages, only one or two of the Gospels might say something, sometimes three, sometimes all four. But here, and we had at least three times Jesus directly predicts his rejection, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 26, and it says, "From that time Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." Now, if you just listen to that, he began to teach. So the whole inference here is that he taught this, but it wasn't just a one time that he said it once. Even though it's just recorded the one time. It's like if I wrote, said, I began to teach my son to read. That means I only showed him the one day? No. I probably spent more than one day on it. In fact, I know I did. But then I began teaching my second son how to read. Oh, well, that's the second time I mentioned. See, that's the type of mentioning that we have here. Jesus taught on this. It's something they talked about, that they knew about. I mean, Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, that you should, that this should never happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you are not settling your mind on God's interest, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." That same passage is found in Mark and in Luke in varying forms. I'm not going to read all of them. Now as we move up into this, we have a second opportunity where it's the second prediction of the resurrection. Where another instance where specifically, this time I'm going to read from Mark. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. "And from there they went out and began to go through Galilee. And he was unwilling for anyone to know about it. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, 'The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later.' But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. They heard the statement and said, well, what does this mean? Well, it sounds pretty plain to us, doesn't it? It says, they're going to kill me. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. Except that they know that that doesn't happen. Don't we? If I stood up here and said, if you kill me, I will rise 3 days later, you'd all say, pastor's off his rocker. He must be talking about something else. There must be some spiritual message that I'm not getting. I must be too stupid because he's so brilliant. You're not buying that. Okay. That's what the disciples were doing with Jesus. I mean, he said it very plainly. Again, a third time, that's why. Let me look that one. Don't mind me. Ah, point 180 is at point. Let's see. I'll have a nice nap, I'm sorry. Okay. In Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 34, we have this passage. And he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. And they did not comprehend the things that were said. They just didn't want to believe. They just... la, 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 la. That type of thing was going on. Because it was so different from what their experience is. When the women went to the tomb, and they found it empty, and the words of the angel say, why are you here looking for him amongst the dead? He's alive. He's risen. They walk away in wonder. Why are they in wonder? Because their expectation isn't connecting with reality, with the truth that they've been presented. And when we come across that in our lives, where we have an expectation that is really firm, and we come up with a truth that is absolutely in opposition to that, we often stand around like sheep that have been hit on the head going, huh? So we call that term wonder. We go, what's going on? This doesn't make sense. We have here a point of the supernatural intersecting with the natural, and that's called a miracle. And we have an expectation which is contrary to reality, and the reality being put up in front of our faces, and we have wonderment. Wonder. Why didn't they just believe? Well, how about you? You ever have something that happened in your life where it was contrary to what you were expecting? We have it. We can see this all through history. Everybody expected Christopher Columbus to fall off the edge of the earth. Then he went and found another country, and they're like, wow, what's with that? had Galileo telling people, hey, you know what? The earth goes around the sun. And they were talking about killing the man for it. Because it was contrary to their expectation. People don't always readily accept the truth. Even when it's put right in front of them, they will still attempt to hold on to the lie of the expectation. And when you got this two battling, you get this wonder going on. Well, it wasn't just the ladies, it was also the disciples. Peter and John and the rest. They're all going, what is going on? Even after the angels have said, this is what Jesus said would occur. Later we have the example of good old Thomas, doubting Thomas, he's often referred to, and he's saying, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my hand into his side. Feel those nail scars and feel where the spear pierced his body. Jesus says, hey, Tommy, come here. Check it out. This is cool. You can stick your hand right in there. Maybe it was just so. Feel this. Look at it. I can see you. And it was only at this point that they were able to take that next step. Say, my Lord and my God. Truly worship. We, on the other hand, we have a benefit they didn't have. While they had the entire Old Testament, we also have the New Testament. We have the experience of being to sit back and read and say, those fools, I wouldn't have been so... I would have understood what he said. Yep. I would have said, nope, he's going to rise up after all. Didn't he raise Lazarus up just a couple weeks before? After all, wasn't he the one that was healing the blind, that was making the lame to walk again, casting out demons? Didn't he do all that stuff? Didn't he feed thousands of guys with one small boy's lunch? We're going to let a little thing like what men can do to him worry us? He said he's coming back. He told us again and again. Third day. We can say that. We weren't there. We didn't have the reality of his crucifixion rubbed in our face. We didn't smell the blood, the sweat. And all that was going on, we didn't wonder if we were going to be next. We just didn't have our hopes and dreams totally dashed and broken. They were as broken a people as you could ever find. They knew Jesus was the Messiah, and then he just stood there and took it. He kept telling them that he was going to do that, but they never believed it because they knew that, you know, he's going to be like, you know, Muhammad Ali, one of those guys, you knock him down, he got back up. Rocky, there we go. Muhammad, I don't think he ever got knocked down. Okay, he got knocked down a couple of times. But see, watch the Rocky movies. I mean, the guy gets down, he's back up again. That's what they're looking for. They're saying, he's going to get back up. Come on. Didn't happen. It did. It just happened 3 days later, just like he said it was going to happen. Why? To show that he has truly died. 3 days. It's a long time not to breathe. It ain't going to work. If I do hold my breath 3 days, I will be dead. if you bleed out my body as much as his was bled out through the scourging and crucify and pierce and all that occurred, you know, my heart would probably give out after the first flail that scourge. You know, I heard it go, at least I pray. I wouldn't want to go through that. But he did it for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins, because that price was necessary to be paid. We have the entirety of Scripture which teaches us that. That for forgiveness of sins, there must be a blood sacrifice. That blood sacrifice was made by Jesus. And on the third day, he rose again. Now, we can treat this truth as just a book. We can take that book and we can put it up on the bookshelf. And we can look at it and say, I own that book. It's right there. Have you ever read it? Well, I looked at it once. It's got some neat pictures. I read the cover. You know, that little blurb. So I know what happens. You know. Maybe even I got the Cliff Notes and looked through that one time. Are we going to take the book and we're going to read it? And it's going to become our comfort. It's going to become our hope. It's going to become our guide for each and every day. See, the truth is that Jesus died on the cross. That he was laid in the grave. And the third day he rose again. Now we can read that book and know that book and have it affect every aspect of who we are. We can take that book and we can put it on the shelf. We need more than just an intellectual acceptance and belief, but we need the belief that comes from knowing it intimately. Completely and fully. So this morning, we're going to receive communion for all who would like to. Nobody is required. Please understand me here. Communion is never required for anybody to receive it, but it's a privilege and an honor that's available for all who would like to. We receive communion this morning to remember what it is that Jesus did. And it is a step that we can take in seeking to make that truth the truth of our own lives. That our Lord is alive. He is alive. See, Jesus loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. Yet the power of God and his love is so great that he overcame death, washed away your sins, my sins. Now Jesus lives resurrected, the first fruits of eternal life, which is yours and mine forever. If. See, there's an if. If we receive it, there for us. If we believe it. Not the believe of putting it on the shelf, but the believe of taking it in and living it out in our day-to-day life. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward and Butch.